The Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. So we stand to our feet. John, chapter number 8. We'll begin reading in verse number 28. John, chapter number 8, and verse 28. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for this time that you've given to us to read thy word. Our hearts have been stirred by all the special music this morning, the pledges that we've given, and Lord, everything from instrumentals to the special singing, to the choir, we thank you for all this. But now we come to the time of the preached word, and Lord, we realize that you placed an emphasis in your Bible on preaching. And I pray that today, while our hearts are thinking and our minds are thinking about all these very things, about the freedom we have and about America and our liberty, I pray, Lord, that you would bring us in to the thoughts of what you would have for us to hear from thy precious word. I pray for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit of God to dwell upon me. Now, I can't do this in myself, and I know that. I'm so weak and I have no ability, but Lord, I pray that the Spirit of Christ would rest upon me. And I pray today we would hear from Thee, and then we'd respond according to Thy will. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's no doubt that one of the things that we treasure most as Americans is our freedom. We love to have the freedom. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's a privilege to live here, to be in this place, actually to be in this very building today without the fear of soldiers coming in and saying we cannot worship God and we can't do the things that we want to do and be able to meet together in the name of the Lord. We're living in a blessed land, aren't we? We have a freedom that many people do not enjoy, even in places where they say they have freedom, there's still so many things that keep them from worshiping the true and the living God. But in America, we have the land of opportunity. We have the land of freedom. We have the ability to come together whenever we please, wherever we like, and read our Bible and pray together and preach the Word of God and stand and sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And dear friends, it does not matter what time of day, what time of night, it does not matter where the location, we have those rights in America. And I want to thank God for that. I want to praise the Lord for this blessed freedom. But there's a greater freedom than this freedom that we have as Americans. There's a freedom that everyone, no matter where they live, no matter what the circumstance, a freedom that all can have. America was built on the principles of this freedom that I'm talking about. And now, in this great country that we live in, that prides itself in freedom, there are more people in bondage than ever. More people bound by the chains of sin and the chains of darkness. More people are bound by the devil himself. And we as believers have the message that can set the people free. They could be free if they were to go to China or any other communist country. They could have a freedom that'll never be taken away. A freedom that's forever. and a freedom that only comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does not matter who they are. It does not matter where they live. This is a freedom that once you get it, dear friends, you never lose it. The freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to take this message. Who will go to America? They sang the song, but who'll go to America? We're living in a time where people need to hear the message more loudly and more clearly than ever. The message has been muffled. The message has been compromised. The message has been done away with. Churches have quit preaching the truth of God's Word and started preaching a social gospel. In America, the songs that would stir the people's souls to action for God have been done away with something that'll put a tap in your feet. I loved what old Vance Hadner said. He said, we've gone from hymns to hootenannies. And I don't want any part of that. Amen? Thank God for a church that still sings the old songs, still loves the Lord, and still preaches from the old book. But we have the message. It's our responsibility to take this message to America. So many people are in the chains of sin, and they are in the chains of darkness, and they are bound by circumstances and by situations. But we have the message that can set them free. And it's Christ and Christ alone. I want to look this morning about this freedom that we have. About what it is to be free indeed, if you will. This morning I hope that you'll hear what God has to say. And if you've never been set free from these things, if you've never been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, that today you'll become free in the Lord. And if you have been set free, that you'll take these very thoughts, and you'll preach it to all those that are around us. I want us to see, first of all, a lasting freedom. This freedom is a lasting freedom. Notice what the Bible says in our text this morning. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 36, the Bible says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free possibly. Hang on just a minute here. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free hopefully. No? Well, let's all read it together. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I like that word indeed, don't you? The Bible says that the Son sets people free. And when the Son sets somebody free, they're free, not possibly, not hopefully, not maybe, but the Bible says they are free indeed. You know what that means? Certainly. Of a certainty, you've been set free when Jesus sets you free. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than having this freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, talking about this one that sets us free. The Bible says in verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I want you to understand that this freedom that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ is for every man. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He didn't die just for the Jew. He did not die just for the Gentile. He did not die just for the red, the yellow, the black, or the white. When Jesus died, He died for all. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what the Bible says. Verse number 10, for it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I like that, don't you? I'm a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on and says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. There it is. I'm telling you, it's a lasting freedom. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when He defeated death, He defeated the devil. And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know the devil has no say-so in your life. It's a lasting freedom. The Bible goes on and says, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. You know what that word succor means? To run to the aid of. You want to know how I know I'm saved today and I can never lose it? Because I'm in His hands. And every time the devil thinks he can get a hold of me, and every time the devil thinks he can take my life and he can destroy it, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and He runs to the aid of His people. He defeated death. He defeated hell. And He defeated the grave. This old body might lie in the grave one day, but I want you to know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When I die, you may look at my remains, but I want you to understand that my spirit will already be in glory, having a hallelujah, glorious time. This is a freedom that is a lasting freedom. It started the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you're here today and you're saved, it started the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John again, in chapter number 3, that very famous verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I love verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." These were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3, verse 36, John continues writing the same thing and emphasizing what Christ said. He says in verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So the Bible says that when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you get it then. I'm not going to enter into eternal life when I die. I have already got it. "He that hath the Son hath life." I've got it now. The moment I was saved, I received eternal life. I entered into everlasting life. So how is this a lasting freedom? Well, first of all, because it's a present possession. It's not something that I'm going to gain someday. I've already got it. I'm possessed of the Lord. And I possess Christ in my life. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. I am His, He is mine. There's nothing greater than that in all the world. Amen? And besides, the Bible makes it clear, back in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25, you remember where the Bible says, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." Now, let's stop here just for a moment, and we'll finish the verse in just a minute. "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost." Now, that's not saying something like, "From the guttermost to the uttermost." And, you know, there are songs, and honestly, that's a good song, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, "From the guttermost to the uttermost," that's all right. But that's not talking about He saves the low and He saves the wealthy. It's saying He saves the uttermost. In other words, He saves you all the way. He saves you as far as you can ever be saved. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. Why? "Wherefore, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Seated next to the Father, at the right hand, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what He's doing? He's there interceding for me. Now, we have an accuser in heaven. His name is the devil, that great red dragon, the serpent, that slimy, slithering serpent that demon, that wicked one, that son of perdition, if you will, that godless one, he's in heaven. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that he's there accusing us all the time. You make your mistake, you sin, you do the wrong thing, and there he is. See what Joe did? But then at the right hand of the Father, Jesus says, he's paid for. He's washed in the blood. He ever liveth to make intercession. This is a lasting freedom because the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for me and he's interceding for you. And dear friends, I want you to know, because of that, you're saved to the uttermost. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I'm saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Freedom wasn't cheap. It cost God his son and it cost the son his life. But that's the cost of freedom. Even in our great land, the reason that we're free is because many men and now women have given their lives to the great cause of freedom. And dear friends, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? When we sing God Bless Our Troops, it's not just words coming out of my mouth, it's a prayer. God bless our troops wherever they may be. God bless our troops upon the land or sea or in the air. We follow with this prayer. God bless our troops. The cost of freedom is a great cost. But dear friends, there was the Lord Jesus Christ who said before the foundation of the world, I'll go and pay the price that they can have the freedom. We once were dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. But the Bible says he hath quickened those of us that are saved. In other words, he made us alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I've been found through the amazing grace of God. And this freedom is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found in being a Baptist. It's not found in being a Methodist or in being any other thing. It's found in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not found in the baptismal waters. It's not found in the good works. It's found in the person of Christ. And if you're going to heaven today, there's only one way you can go, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you have a lasting freedom. God may call me to a communist country, but I want you to know when I go over there, I'll be just as free as ever, because my freedom is not in a land, it's in a person. And it's in the person that is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. Not only is it a lasting freedom, I want you to know it's a liberating freedom. This is something that's wonderful. The Bible teaches us in the book of John, chapter number 8, back in our text this morning, verse number 31, the Bible says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want you to understand what's going on here. We find that these people, the Lord Jesus is saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they say, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. Well, first of all, they lied. They were in bondage to the Egyptians for I don't know how long. And then they were in bondage to Nebuchadnezzar. They were in bondage to all kinds of people. We could go and find the Romans and the Greeks and the Medes and the Persians. We could go and we could see all these things. They've been in bondage and been in bondage and been in bondage. But he wasn't talking about being in bondage to some group of people. He was talking about being in bondage to sin. And we have to understand when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in our life, he liberates us. And we have a liberty that's ours. It's a liberating freedom that Christ gives to us. He said that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's the fact. I've heard, how many people have you heard say, well, the truth will set you free? Anybody ever heard somebody just say that? Just that, all by itself. The truth shall set you free. How many has heard people say that? they've really messed up. Because the Bible says you've got to know the truth before the truth will set you free. The truth never changes. You understand? The truth is always there. And just because it's there doesn't mean that you're set free. You've got to hear the truth and believe the truth. And then you'll be set free. Do you understand? Now, I asked the question, who'll go to America? How many would say with an amen this morning, how many would say that Americans, while we live in the land of the free, are living in bondage? Amen? Well, I want you to know, we can give them a freedom today through the truth, but we have got to tell the truth to people. Here's the problem in our land. There's not much truth being given anymore. Listen to the average pulpit. Usually they're up trying to raise money, or they're up putting everybody and everything else down, or they're up having a little show, you know. I think we ought to call our churches Hollywood Church, because more people go there to be entertained than they do to hear the truth, you know. Preachers ought to wear a top hat and have a cane and go across the stage saying, there's no business like show business, there's no, you know. That's probably what ought to be taking place in a lot of our churches. But the truth of the matter is this. There is a truth that'll set people free, and we don't have time to waste on all these other things when we have what everybody needs. It's a liberating freedom. And dear friends, people are in so much bondage, and we want to set them free. But the only way they can be set free is they have to hear the truth before they can accept the truth. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians, and you can look with me if you like to, Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 1 talks about this liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's a wonderful thing when we read these verses together. The Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 13 and 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed, for brethren, verse number 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the Bible teaches us we've been called unto liberty. We've been set free. We've been liberated. But we're not to use the liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but we're to use it to serve one another. See, this freedom gives us liberty. It's not a liberty. It's not a license to sin. It's a liberty to live. And when you're living within the guidelines of God's Word, you have a freedom and a peace and a joy that nobody else can understand. You're liberated. We need less of women's liberation and more of Bible liberation. Amen? I'm not chauvinistic, but I believe that God made us who we are, and He gave us the abilities that He gives us. And while there's agendas being pushed, I think the agenda that needs to be edified and magnified the most is the liberty and the liberation you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the Word of God in the New Testament, the way that God teaches us to treat women, is greater than any women's liberation movement could ever treat a woman. Amen. You hear what I'm saying. May the Lord help us to see that. It's a liberating freedom. The greatest people in the world I know are Christian ladies. I believe they live for God, love God, serve God to a greater degree than most any men that I know. It's a liberty not to sin but to serve. And then I want you to see finally this morning, it's a lost freedom to many, a lost freedom. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter number 8, verse number 21. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The Bible says here that if you die without Christ, all your freedom will be lost. Your freedom as an American will be gone. Your freedom to live life will be gone. Because you're going to die and go to a terrible place called hell. And the Bible teaches us that the fire is never quenched. The worm dieth not. There's weeping, there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. But you don't have to go there. Because Lord Jesus Christ did die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried. Oh, it was in a borrowed tomb. But the third day he rose again. With victory over death, and victory over hell, and victory over the grave. And the Bible teaches us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you believe not that He is the Christ, you shall die in your sins. And you'll be bound in the chains of sin forever. Because He says, whither I go, you cannot come. And all the freedom that you would ever hope to attain will be lost. But if you know the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Without a doubt. And this is a freedom that you can never lose. The message that's needed in America, in this church, in our communities, where you live, where you play, where you work, is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. More specifically, it's a message of His love for a lost and a dying world. Oh, may we be obedient. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you free indeed? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home? Do you have peace? Peace without comparison, that Jesus lives in your life? That He's real to you? That you've been set free? Do you know it? Praise the Lord if you do. If you know it, you have a responsibility. And this is what we're going to meet at the judgment seat of Christ. You have a responsibility to share Christ with others. You'll not meet your sins, for they were judged at the cross of Calvary. But every one of us that are saved will meet at the judgment seat of Christ what we've done with Him since we've been saved. And dear friends, you say, I've failed. There's not a one of us that would not say that we failed. We've all failed. But let's determine right now that we'll go to America. We'll take the message of freedom. Not the freedom that we get through the wars. And thank the Lord for the men and women that fought the wars. But a freedom that we get through trusting Christ. That'll set people free. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your blessed word. For the truths You've given to us. And the promises. Thank You for the freedom that we can have in our lives. That nothing can take away. Lord, no country, no government, no individual, no circumstance, no situation could ever take away this freedom. We thank You for that. But Lord, in our midst today, there are those that are here that does not have this freedom. They've never trusted Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You'll help them to see the need of putting their faith in Thee, trusting Thee today. And then, Lord, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, would You help us to be willing to take this message of freedom with all the compassion that we can possibly have and tell people about your love for them, and how you want to be a part of their lives. Help us to be faithful. Help us to go to America, Lord, which could be next door, which could be in a grocery line. Lord, we realize that. Help us to be faithful witnesses everywhere we go. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've done and what you're getting ready to do. I'll give you the glory for it, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I do pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning as the piano begins to play. If you're here today...